Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Welcome. We are here to get into the Word of God, but we'll sing a chorus first. Let's keep on walking by faith. We need to do that, and let's sing about it. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Yes, give the Lord a hand praise today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Revelation, chapter 16, to begin with. We have several other places to go here in the Scripture. And we're going to call this message the Savior's Last Call. The Savior's Last Call. There's something just so striking about those words. Last call. Final call. And we're reading in Revelation 16, verse 15. You know, when you read in Revelation 16 about the seven vials of wrath of God that are poured out upon this wicked world, when you get into a certain place, of course, right after the sixth vial is poured out, you have these words. It's as if it's an interjection by the Savior. And if you have a red letter edition of the King James Bible, it will have those letters in red because it's Jesus speaking. In other words, we're hearing about all these things that happen, and then Jesus breaks in and says something in the middle of it. And what He says is this: Behold, this is verse 15 of Revelation 16. Behold, I come as a thief. Of course, a thief doesn't announce his coming, right? No one's expecting a thief. Why does Jesus use that analogy? Because He's coming unannounced. Nobody knows the day or the hour, not even Jack Van Impe. Nobody knows. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. In other words, you don't want any stains on them, do you? That keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. A very unusual, very striking interjection by the Savior here as a last call. And when we look at the context of this, we're looking at seven last plagues known as the seven vials that are poured out. But there are also seven seals and seven trumpets. And really, they're all pictures of the same thing happening, because when you get to the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh vial, it's finality. There aren't three ends of the world. There's just one end of the world. And those are three different ways that the Savior is showing us by the Holy Ghost that it's the end. But we're going to back up one in each one of those. And we're going to look at, for a little while here, at the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet, and the sixth vial, which gives us three sixes, We're familiar with that, aren't we? 666, which is all over the place right now. You know, the various so-called rock music, I should say so-called music, it's not music, but you know what I mean. The so-called rock stars are always flaunting 666 in some way or another. The barcodes that they use everywhere, whether they be embedded or visible, all have a common denominator of 666 because the end lines and the middle line all have a numerical equivalent of 6. This is everywhere. Our government is running on 666. Our government is running on occult power. That's why you have all these crazy things going on. By the way, your Social Security Administration just finished having a meeting out there in Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know if you heard about that. And they spent, I believe it was $778,000 on their little meeting because dancing girls don't come cheap, you know. They said that was a morale booster to have dancing girls there. All these government officials, see? That's your tax money in action. So they had big dinners and entertainment and a big wild time, and then in a few minutes of their spare time, they had a meeting. You know, these things are happening. Don't be surprised. These things are happening all the time. We don't have an Uncle Sam. We have an Uncle Scam. You need to understand that. And they are taking everybody for a ride, and they've been doing it for a very long time. Satan has worked hard to build up his empire. And there is a Babylon of the last days, and we need to realize we're living in it. Spiritual Babylon, but it will fall. Babylon is fallen. Yes, there's a religious side to it. Yes, there's a political side to it, and they all work together. And there are all kinds of signs of the times here. You know, just the other day, it was on the 13th actually, when Barack Obama was giving a speech at the Eisenhower Executive Building, and he said, as soon as he said the words, "I am pulling our nation from the brink," right then, the teleprompter came crashing down, broke at his feet, shards of glass everywhere, laying all around his shoes, a busted teleprompter. This has never happened before to anybody. But apparently the Lord was not happy with his speech and just gave that thing a little nudge and bang, down it went. And he's standing like, huh? You know, the Lord does have ways of interrupting things, doesn't he? Well. I'm looking for signs all the time and we're seeing them. Didn't the Lord tell us to watch and pray? Watch what? Netflix? No. The signs that he's showing us. The whole world is watching Netflix. The postal department couldn't live without Netflix. You know what that is, don't you? People subscribe to movies. And they send them. You pay a certain amount every month. And they go back and forth in the mail. And there's never a late charge or anything. And they're constantly sending movies to your house. Constantly. Back and forth. And all that postage. And you know, the post office loves it because that's about the only thing holding them together right now. They said they're broke. They keep raising the postage. Do you ever notice the service declines and the rates increase? Yeah. Anything the government does, you're going to have that. They have never been efficient at anything except swindling people. But anyway, aside from all of that, we're looking at 3 sixes today. In the form of the sixth seal, sixth trumpet, and sixth vial. What happens? Let's go back. We are coming back to chapter 16, but for a moment, let's go back to the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 6, we're going to go down to the sixth seal that is opened. And we go to verse 12, Revelation 6:12, which says this, and I hope you're ready for a prophetic message this morning because the Lord is showing us through prophecy in His Word what is going on right now and what we can expect, what's going to happen. You see, we're living in a very strange time. It's never been like this before. And literally, all hell is going to break loose, but that's okay, because right after that, all heaven is going to break loose. Amen. You know, their day is coming. You look at all the dishonesty and the swindling going on out there. This whole world is, it's a hostile place for a Christian. But we begin now with verse 12 of Revelation 6. This is our first six. Our second six we'll look at in a moment, and our third six. The three sixes of the book of Revelation. And usually if I'd say that, you'd immediately think of the mark of the beast. And yeah, the mark of the beast is the number of a man's name, which is 666. Of course, we see that everywhere too, don't we? There's a pope over in Rome whose real name is Ratzinger. And originally spelled with an S in German, and his name adds up to 666. Of course, so does his title. Filii Vicarius Dei in Latin adds up to 666. On the ring that he wears, he has a 666 in Roman numerals. So this is everywhere. Wherever you look, we are living in the time of the beast that has risen up. And isn't it amazing that most people are oblivious to it? Never give it a thought. Joe Sixpack out there doesn't care. But the time is coming. The reason I say Joe Sixpack is give him a six-pack and he's happy.
That's right.
Six-pack and a box of pretzels and the Green Bay Packers, and he's set. Except nowadays a six or six banger isn't enough. You've got to have at least 12. Now, I've seen it in action. I've seen these people. You all know people who do that. That they live for that Sunday afternoon or that Monday night or whatever it is. And they go out and a distiller's dream, a brewer's dream. They go out and they get all this booze in there and they settle down in their favorite chair and their brain gets fried on this kind of stuff. It's terrible. They never think about God. They never think about what's coming. But there's going to be a divine interruption. You know, we're driving in today. I noticed there are several buildings going up in town. In this horrible economy, they're still building. You know why? The Bible says right up until the day that the Lord comes, they'll marry, they'll give in marriage, they builded, they planted, they bought, they sold. In other words, they think it's going to keep going on and on and on. They that are buying anticipate selling, and they that are selling anticipate somebody buying. And those that plant anticipate a harvest. And those that build anticipate being able to use the building. But the Lord is telling us that the day will come, the hour will come, the last trumpet will sound, and that's it. Finished, all done. The power of God will be manifested. Judgment will come. And it would take God to sort this mess out. Really, where do you begin? And you know, really, it's that way when working with people too. You try to warn people and tell them the Lord is coming. You can lay it out for them. Do you ever look at people wondering, how do I even begin to tell this person what's going on? They have no foundation whatsoever for truth. They've forgotten how to think. Other people have been doing their thinking for them for so long that their brain apparatus doesn't work. You have to teach them how to think. Isn't that sad? Most people can't be logical about anything because their mind is a blend of so many kinds of deception that it's impossible to make any sense out of it. Have you ever tried to figure out why those in authority do what they do? Well, they have an agenda. One is to confuse you, and the other is to bring forth a one-world government. And they always have to have the dialectic going. So it looks like there's opposing sides. The Democrats and Republicans hate each other. Oh, no. They're all cut out of the same cloth. They're all of the same ilk. It doesn't make any difference. We need to understand those things, don't we? And they come by revelation. God does show us. Now, here we are in Revelation chapter 6. And if we go to the 12th verse, we find that a seal is being opened, seal number 6. You see, there's a great scroll that's written on both the front side and the back side, and it's rolled up, and it's sealed 7 times, and the seals are broken open so that you can unroll it and see what's there. And when you get to the 6th seal, and this, of course, is in heaven, where this is taking place, he says, "And I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." Well, now that ought to shake people up a little, wouldn't you say? You know, I just read a report that over there in the San Andreas Fault, over in California, which runs quite a distance along the length of California, that they have picked up on, they've been doing this for a while now, there's an increasing amount of tremors and rumbling deep in the ground, and it never stops. It's a continual thing. It's just rumbling, 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 way, way down in there. And of course, there is a shelf, and there is a plate, and there's some collision going on. And I'll tell you what, there's a big part of California is already in trouble. Not even their IOUs are any good. They're absolutely broke. Nothing functions. Nothing works. Last Friday, they told everybody that works for the government to go home. They can't pay them. It's never been like this. You know, you look at Detroit. Detroit is so depressed. People are saying, with the last one out of Detroit, please turn out the lights. Everything's shutting down. Okay. It's true, isn't it? It's a mess. And all of this, of course, is on purpose. The devil is at work. You can see his handiwork, if you want to call it that. And he is in a destruction mode because they are hoping that through this destruction, through these ashes, there will arise a new world order, a new phoenix, and they will be in control and in charge of it all. And of course, that's the devil's lie. But when we look at this 6th seal, it tells us of a great earthquake. Great earthquake. And then the sun becoming black as sackcloth. You know, it's really strange too, because the sun right now is at the weakest that it's ever been recorded. The intensity of the sun has been fading. It's weak. There are literally no sunspots at all, meaning there are no solar flares going out. Something's happening with our sun. The astronomers know it. It's weakening and weakening and weakening. What's going on? Well, I can tell you what's going to happen. It's going to turn black. Now, people don't want to think about that, but it's going to happen. The Bible says so. Black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. Now, I understand, too, there's a spiritual side to all of this as far as looking at the metaphor and so forth. And we can look at it both ways because these things are literally happening. The moon became as blood. I've looked at the various patterns of eclipses of the moon, which are intensifying, and that's very strange too. And the moon, as it is eclipsed, when you look at the eclipse of the moon, it's getting redder, darker, deeper red than it ever has been recorded. There's something going on there too. These are little signs, you know, that the Lord is showing us. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. They're not ripe yet, not ready to be harvested. This is a sign of people not being ready. When she is shaken of a mighty wind, and we know about a mighty wind that came in the day of Pentecost, and filled the people of God with His Spirit, and God with His mighty wind, His rushing mighty wind, can also shake this earth and the heavens. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. A scroll rolling together, just like a window shade. Can you imagine what that would look like up there? And with all the changes that we see taking place, something is, at this very time, going on. And it goes on and says, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Well, it would take quite a shaking and quaking to do that. In other words, nothing is going to be the same again. Everything will be permanently changed as the world comes to its conclusion. See, you've got these environmentalists out there. They're going to save the planet. And old Rothschild, Edmund de Rothschild, before he died, he said his plan was perfect. They're going to build these gigantic dry ice generators at the poles and generate all this dry ice. And that's going to keep everything balanced. And then, of course, Barack Obama and Al Gore. I'll tell you, these people. Now, they're saying we've got this global warming going on, which is why we have record cooling. And God comes in and says, all right, I'll shut you up. But they've got this Nobel Prize-winning scientist that Barack Obama hand-picked. I believe his name is Nelson, Dr. Nelson, James Nelson, I believe it is. He wrote a book called Censored Science. And he is Obama's hand-picked advocate to save the planet. Obama knew everything he believed and picked him and honors him as this great man of science. And one of the things that he stands for is this. He said, we will need mandatory abortion in America. That women will abort their babies by law, whether they like it or not. Well, he promised change, didn't he? Is there going to be an uprising? Oh, yes. Are people going to just take all of this? You know, the news media keeps defending Obama. But more and more people out there, and they don't get any publicity, but they're rising up against him.
And the Obama Deception DVD by Alex Jones.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and the billboards that are put up, where is the birth certificate, and so forth. There's a great groundswell of opposition rising up. And it's an amazing thing to watch. But we do need the Lord's help more than anything, because we are in for a time of trouble such as we have never seen. But when the Lord intervenes, when God takes over, and his mighty hand begins to move. Did you ever notice that in the Bible? God is always doing things here and there. But every so often you read of a sovereign move of God. Did you ever think about that? In Egypt, the people of God were crying out. They were in bondage to a Pharaoh. Of course, our president went over to Egypt, made a speech, and they gave him an honorary title of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is the one who holds the people of God in bondage and slavery, whose heart was hardened. And Moses said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no. And so plagues came upon the land. We have a president of the United States for the first time, one who stole the office by deception, but he's in that office, who has the title of Pharaoh. George Washington didn't have the title of Pharaoh. Lincoln didn't have the title of Pharaoh. Madison didn't have the title of Pharaoh. Not even Kennedy had the title of Pharaoh. But Barack Obama is Pharaoh. He has a medallion to prove it. Don't people ask questions? Isn't there a spiritual implication to this? Is he holding people in bondage? Now, Congress came out with a plan to restore dealerships to all the car dealers, and Barack Obama said no. You see, General Motors is owned by Barack Obama's federal government administration. at least the majority of it. 67%, which he had to round up from 66.666666 ad infinitum, right? Because that's 67%. 66.66666, and that's the percentage the government owns. Do you think all this is by coincidence? Why did they land at that percentage? Well, signs of the times. I hope you understand that. We're living in the time, the great time of the end that the Lord told us of. Now, when we look at this, the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. What do the kings of the earth do? And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. When the sovereign move of God begins, like when he took his people out of Egypt, that was a sovereign move of God. He chose to do it and none could stop it. And here at the end time, God's going to do it again. There are other sovereign moves. When God says, that's enough. Remember when Belshazzar was mocking God and drinking out of the vessels from the temple, drinking wine unto his gods and unto his idols. All of a sudden, the party got interrupted. All the officials of Babylon were there in Belshazzar's house, his big palace. And all of a sudden, a hand appeared, no arm attached, just part of a man's hand, and started writing on the wall. Now, wouldn't that shake things up a little? And what did God write? Daniel interpreted it later. See, Daniel had been forgotten. Nebuchadnezzar knew about him, but Nebuchadnezzar was dead. Now, Belshazzar was the king. His grandson was the king. Daniel was still around, but they totally forgot him because Belshazzar said, isn't there anybody who can interpret this? And somebody remembered Daniel and said, well, there's this Hebrew guy, and he used to interpret things for your grandfather. He was in obscurity at the time. See, that's the way it is with the truth. They like to put it in obscurity. Had you noticed how the news media does that? They tell you what they want you to know. They slant everything. And things that really we should know, they hold from you. It's managed. It's rigged. If you want to learn anything about this country, you have to read Pravda out of Russia. Or the London Times. They know. They'll tell you that we've become a communist country. That's not a big mystery to them. They understand we got a statue of Vladimir Lenin in the street over there in Fremont near Seattle. They understand we've got that big teardrop monument built by the Russians in 2006 standing over there in Bayonne, New Jersey. Isn't that something? Why wasn't that news? Nobody talked. A big monument, a big monolith spread open in the middle with a big metallic teardrop hanging there, lined up with where the World Trade Centers used to be, the center towers, I should say, used to be, and triangulating with the Statue of Liberty, designed and built and paid for by the Russians. And where did they plant it? Right there in Bayonne, New Jersey, overlooking the Kilvan Kul, busiest waterway in the world. And they put it right on the very spot where Bronstein, whose real name was, or who took the name, I should say, of Trotsky, trained the Bolsheviki to overthrow Russia on Rockefeller's Standard Oil property in Bayonne. And that's where they put their monument. What are they saying? We have taken over the United States. It is communist. But people haven't figured that out. And as long as they don't tell you, they figure you'll go on with life as normal. I will tell you this. God is about to move in a sovereign move of His Spirit. It won't be long. until the Lord says, enough! Enough. Did you ever get fed up with anything? What does that do? It prompts action, doesn't it? How long can you insult God and get away with it? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's coming. It is coming. Full force. And when God unleashes his fury on the earth, what happens to these people? It says they run and they try to hide in the dens and the rocks and the caves. How about Rocky Mount over there? How about the that underground city that they built? That they go off to every so often, have a drill there, how to get there quick by helicopter. You can't hide from God. Verse 16, it says, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You see the finality there? Who is going to survive that? Oh, they've got plans and contingency plans and this for emergencies. But there's nothing they can plan against the Lord. When that time is up, it's up. And the power of God will begin to move. And everybody's going to know it. I'm looking forward to that. I don't want to live like this, do you? Every day is a new frustration. And I'll tell you what, I find joy in the Lord. I find joy in knowing that we understand what he's doing and the fact that he's coming again. But I just cannot blend in with this world. I cannot go along with what they're doing and what they're saying, what they're promoting. Now they develop this swine flu. And they want everybody inoculated. All the public schools are going to be turned into shot clinics. Think of that. I mentioned Wednesday night that public television let the cat out of the bag not long ago when they had a program on talking about the flu that existed back there just after World War I, 1918, and killed millions and millions of people. And they showed these researchers in this laboratory, very restricted. They don't even let the air get out. Very restricted to just a few researchers. This was on public television. And one of them was holding the vial of the 19, they said this is the 1918 sample here that only a few people can work with for research purposes. And on it, there was a label. They didn't cover it up. Somebody blew it. On the label was H1N1. You see, this was purposely introduced. Modified, introduced, it's the same old thing. Subsequently, Reuters News Service put out a story saying this new flu is so similar to the one from 1918. Similar. But what kind of a people, what kind of a dirty bunch would unleash a plague on the population of the world? Is there a devil? Does he have children? Are they a dirty bunch? Uh-huh. See, it's hard for Christians because we think about the good things of God. We want to think about the positive things, the good things, and we're faced with all this stuff that comes at us. What do? Give it to God. Rejoice in the Lord. I fight battles in the middle of the night just like anybody who's really seeing these things. And we go into prayer and we deal with it. It is not easy to be a Christian. It's not a bed of roses. Don't let anybody fool you. Some people think, well, I'll be okay, if I'm a Christian, everything's going to drop into place and be nice. You are in for the toughest battles you could ever fight in life. Read about what happened to the Apostle Paul. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times, thrice I was beaten with rods. A day and a night I've been in the deep. in prisons often. Sounds like a rough life, doesn't it? Scripture says, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We have opposition. The Apostle Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But I like the way that's worded. He's not in charge. God is. And the Lord knows how much we can handle. He knows that if we are tested, it builds our character. We find out what we're made of. We don't quit for anything. We push forward at all times, no matter what. There is no alternative to fighting the good fight of faith. No matter where it takes you and what happens, you've got to be ready at all times. And that's really what Christianity is. The Lord told us ahead of time that it would be that way. It's not easy to be a true Christian, not in this world. You will run into trouble all the way. That's okay. Because the Lord said, I am a very present help in trouble. God's with you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Come on. I believe that, or I wouldn't be here. So you look at this, and these people in charge, these Freemasons, these conspirators that are running the show for now, they're going to be running for the hills. What are they saying? We don't want to see Jesus. Well, I want to see him. They don't want to see him. Hide us from the wrath of him that sitteth upon the white horse. Hide us. And we're saying, even so, come Lord Jesus. Come on. We're ready. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, with that thought in mind, turn with me. We looked at the sixth seal. Let's look together at the sixth trumpet. We are in Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. Revelation 9, 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Have we heard, has the river Euphrates been in the news lately? Well, you know, it runs through Iraq, doesn't it? Has Iraq been in the news? Oh, yes. We got a war over there that shouldn't be happening, but it is. And I think we know how that all came about. I won't go into that again right now. But notice, four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Why? That is a spiritual application of a power being unleashed from that point. I'll get into that more in a minute. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, all the components of time, for to slay the third part of men. In other words, something that originates in the river Euphrates, in that area, there's a power that will be unleashed that will destroy one third of the world's population, in the literal sense. And the number of the army of horsemen were 200,000, which is 200 million. Now, that's a whole lot. 200 million. And again, we apply this both spiritually and if we find an application for it in a literal sense, that God may use a sign to show us something. For an example, the Red Chinese claim that they have a standing army of 200 million. Strange number when they make no reference to Scripture, and yet the Scripture uses the same number. Is that a sign to us? Why does Red China have the most favored trade status? Why do they have all these outlets all over the place known as Walmart? Or really, they're nothing more than outlets of Red China. Unless we have some Walmart loyalists here that feel like that's just the great and wonderful, everything's so cheap there, you know. Yeah, it is. It's junk. In fact, the Chinese even have a ship called the Chinese Junk. Sometimes names just fit, don't they? And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now this is a description as given to John, the apostle, in terms that he could understand. If you understand what I'm saying. Is he seeing some kind of a mechanized force here? And this is the way it's described in the terms of his day? By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, burning sulfur in other words, which issued out of their mouths. Now what's amazing about this is we can find fulfillment of all these things in history, but it seems at the end it all rolls together and we find the final fulfillment. We know that we look at the historical battles where gunpowder was first used, for an example. It's a perfect description of that. And yet in the last days, just as the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, even now are there many antichrists. There is one, he said, that you heard will come, but even now there are many. That's how we know it's the last time, by how many antichrists there are. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, now watch this, because we read about the first six, the sixth seal, we're reading right now about the sixth trumpet, a picture of something happening. But notice, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not. There is a refusal to repent. Folks, with all the trouble going on in our country and all the people out of work and businesses closing down, the threats of plague, you know, wouldn't you think people would turn to God? They'll shake their fist at him. They'll curse him. But they repented not. I'm glad for repentance. Look what it's done for us. Repentance from the heart works. But the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. See, they worship, not God, but they worship devils. And idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood. Notice, everyone in a declining value in that list. Kind of amazing how our money declined. You know, they used to say the almighty dollar. I don't hear anybody saying that anymore. There's nothing behind it. It's falling. Everything's falling. Babylon has fallen. become the habitation of devils. Everything's on the decline. Everything's coming apart at the seams. Boy, I'm full of good news this morning, huh? But we have to bring the reality of it to show that the Lord is coming, and He said all this would happen. So don't be shocked, because this was foretold. And so there's a declining value here. You're going from gold to silver to brass to stone to wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. You know, when I was a kid, we used to walk around with these things called silver dollars. And you could go in with a paper dollar and get a silver dollar. Try it now. Take a paper dollar and go and see if you can get a silver dollar with it. Oh, no, we got to have 12 or 15 of those paper dollars when you have one of them. How come? Take a $20 gold piece from when I was a kid. $20 gold piece. Try and buy one now. Oh, we got to have 900 of those paper dollars for that. Doesn't that tell you something? And when you keep making more money from nowhere, you devalue everything that exists already. The existing goods and services have to absorb all the new money, which means there would be a big inflation, and people don't have any now to work with. So what's going to happen? I'm excited about the fact that I know my Lord is coming. In verse 21, it says, neither repented they, notice the four primary sins, and they will not repent of these, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Murders, sorceries, fornication, thefts. You know, I just read that the new Harry Potter movie that came out set a record for opening day all time. Everybody wanted to see it. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And who's president of the United States? A Half-Blood Prince. Right on schedule. I know that the NAACP would probably get after me for you saying that's a racial remark, and it isn't. I'm being very academic about it. It just so happens that that's the way it is. And those who know me know that it's not a racial remark. I'm just saying that's how it is, and it's no coincidence. They want to tell you, oh, coincidence, coincidence, coincidence. All these coincidences piling up. No, no, no. Now we read about the seventh trumpet. Now let's go back to Revelation 16 where we started and look at the sixth vial. We read about the sixth seal, the sixth trumpet. Now we'll go to the sixth vial. And in the 16th chapter of Revelation, we begin at verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. There it is again. We just read about the river Euphrates, didn't we? That from that vantage point, from that point, would come forth a power that would be unleashed, that would break loose upon the earth and bring about the final cataclysm. Not catechism, cataclysm. All right? So the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, we know that this river is the natural boundary between east and west, and metaphorically, it means the boundary between east and west is taken away. But isn't it amazing? I just read this past week, that the Euphrates River is drying up. That mighty, surging raging river Euphrates is down to a trickle with sandbars out in the middle of it, and it's disappearing. That has never happened before. Is that a sign to us that something's going to happen in that land? To top it off, with the Euphrates River drying up, and it is. I didn't pull that out of the National Enquirer. That was in the mainstream news media. They have pictures of it. One of the reasons is there's a big dam built in Turkey that is holding a lot of the water back. But there are other reasons for it, too. It's been very dry. The river's disappearing. And now what's happening in that land of Iraq, with the river disappearing and the dryness that is there, is they have a plague of, it is an incredible amount of poisonous snakes and serpents that are everywhere. Deadly, poisonous snakes. Not a few. Hordes of them. All over in Iraq. Moving in toward the Euphrates River. Now, what's going on? The Euphrates? That massive, mighty river drying up? How could this be? They said it's at a trickle right now. I believe that when we read our Bible here, that God is showing us a sign. We are close, folks. Very, very, very close to the coming of the Lord. And then he says in verse 13, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet." These three unclean spirits coming out of their mouths. You know, it's hard to listen to what they say. I remember when Bill Clinton was president, he sounded like a frog. Remember how raspy his voice was? Of course, that's from all the cocaine he was using. They captured it on tape. He was snorting cocaine. A surveillance camera caught him in a certain hotel room. And he said, and they picked up on the sound, it said, "I've got to get some of this from my brother. He's got a nose like a vacuum cleaner." That's our president, Bill Clinton. Of course, he's out of there now, but he's still active. He's one of the boys. They always give them something to do, don't they? When are we going to understand this whole thing is rigged? It's laid out. It's choreographed. It's the guys behind the scenes running the show. You know, what they really want to do is have one bank, consolidate all the banks into one bank, and the government will run that bank. No competition, one central bank, and that's it. Not all these little ones with different names, one bank. We're moving that way. I don't know how far God will let it go, but very soon he's going to interrupt everything. He's going to come back, and that is going to be it. And praise the Lord. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who died for us. He's the one who washed our sins away. He'll help us. But we've got to pray and seek him all the more and become strong in the Lord. Be filled with his Spirit. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and keep us ready for that glad and glorious day. I don't know how to get it across to everybody this morning, but we're at the doors. Don't make any long-term plans. Occupy till he comes. Keep going. But I don't think I would count on collecting a whole lot of Social Security. For more reasons than one. Especially if they're going to have these parties like they did in Phoenix and in one weekend spend $778,000 on dinners and drinks and dancing girls. Now, come on. I read that over. I thought, how can they get by with paying all these dancing girls? These are government officials. They're not supposed to be looking at that stuff. They're supposed to be role models for our children. Huh? And they're out there watching the hoochie coochie dances. You know? $778,000, over $750,000 for a weekend meeting. Come on. And they said they needed that because it was to lift their spirits, they said. Now, what spirits? What spirits do they have that had to be lifted? What spirits would be lifted by hoochie coochie dancers? I don't know what else to call them. Now, if they're government is also, the Treasury Department is advertising. They're looking at job openings for people who are very quick at making jokes and drawing cartoons. Now, what is our Treasury Department wanting to hire people like that for? Well, for the same reason that Goebbels in Germany was continually out in the public trying to get their minds off from what Hitler was doing. Get everybody laughing. Oh, what a big joke. Our Treasury Department literally has, you can find it online, they have job openings for people who can draw cartoons and write jokes and make people laugh. Since when does the U.S. Treasury Department hire comedians? It's getting stranger all the time. But the Word of God tells us that you have these three unclean spirits, and they're like frogs. An unclean creature, you know, in Egypt, remember God sent frogs upon them? And they came forth out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Evil spirits from the mouth. Are people going to listen to what they say and believe it? And the Lord says, for they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth. Notice there's three spirits involved here. Is that number three again? Three world wars, right? This is the final one. What are they going to do? To gather them together to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. It's a very short World War III. Because this one gets interrupted by the coming of the Lord. And right there, the Lord interjects his call that we started our message with today. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Does it sound like a warning to you? How does he start the statement? Behold, look! And if I can look at the Euphrates River and see it's drying up and snakes are filling the ravines and the what's left of the river, poisonous serpents, kind of tells me something. We've got to look for the signs that God gives. And so there they are. Three unclean spirits. The purpose is to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That great day. And the Lord then warns us, behold, I come as a thief. When you see these things happen, what did Jesus say? When you see these things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads. Look up! Your redemption draweth nigh! Start looking up! I don't have any problem looking up. I can't stand to look around. Our redemption draweth nigh. We are at the doors, folks. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. You've got to watch. You've got to look. You've got to behold. Think. When you see these things happen, it's a sign from God, another sign from God, another sign from God. The world says coincidence. Oh, no big deal. Oh, yeah. Amen. Start praying, believing, receiving. Glorify God. Worship the Lord. It's always proper to worship Him. Worship Him when you feel good. Worship Him when you feel bad. Worship Him when you're afraid. Worship Him anytime. And when we're afflicted, I've got a prescription from old Doc Meyer here. When you're afraid of anything, read your Bible until you get relief. Just get it open and start reading until you feel better. And you will. Don't quit till you feel better. Now, Jesus warned us there, keep our garments. He's given us a wonderful garment. Hang on to it. Because in verse 16, here's what happens. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And it all started at the Euphrates River. What does the word Euphrates mean? To burst forth or to gush forth. What could possibly gush forth from a dried up river? Another kind of river. A river of evil. A spiritual river. Remember, in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, there were four rivers that all came to a head. Remember? Here you've got four angels that are loosed from the Euphrates, which was one of those four rivers. These are all signs to us who believe in the Lord. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And of course, that Armageddon, referring to Mount Megiddo, the plain of Esdraelon, plain of Jezreel, is showing us that that ancient land is used as a springboard for this whole thing. Now, God's people are Christians. There is an Israeli state, but God's people are Christians. And those are the only people God has are Christians. Anybody else has to come the same way through Jesus Christ. But prophecy is fulfilled over there. We see it being fulfilled even now. And we understand that this is yet to happen. And you look at North Korea sending their missiles up and just to attract attention, really. Having nuclear power. Iran getting ready to strike. Is the Israeli state getting ready to strike Iran? What's directly across the Euphrates? A little ways. And by the way, when the troops, the U.S. troops pull out of Iraq, who do you think is going to come rushing in? The Iranians, Russians, Chinese. See, the Lord's showing us the plan. I believe he's making it very clear. What concerns me even more than that is the spiritual evil that is unleashed. Whenever you take a prophecy like this and you see physical fulfillment, take that as a sign. The real essence of it is spiritual. There is a great evil that has been unleashed throughout the whole world. In order to have a one world government, all boundaries have to dry up. And you've got a one world everything. And as the scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 2, that Antichrist, we have heard that that Antichrist shall come. How do we know he's about to arise? Even now, are there many Antichrists whereby we know it is the last time? Is Obama an Antichrist? Yeah. Rahm Emanuel? Yep. The Pope, who recently broke his wrist while up in the Alps at his hideaway? Yep. There are many, many Antichrists. And from those many, one, obviously, according to Scripture, arises. That Antichrist shall come. But the Spirit permeates the entire world and is grooming the people to accept that one. And that's what we're seeing happen right now. So there's a gathering unto Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out. This is what happens. When Armageddon breaks forth, that last great battle, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there was a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. How many? It's unthinkable, isn't it? But it's going to happen. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. To whom much is given, much shall be required, right? And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, 125 pounds. It's a pretty good size hailstone, isn't it? And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. All those hailstones coming down. You know why? Because he that is without sin is casting the first stone. And he is raining the hailstones upon the earth. Folks, where will you be when the last trumpet sounds? Where will I be when it sounds so loud? When it sounds so loud as the wake up the dead, where will I be when it sounds, as the old song goes? We'll be safe in the hands of the Lord. I believe that. As David said in the Psalms, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. We are in a strange, unprecedented time right now. And I want to get everybody thinking about that because it's very important that we do. The powers of heaven shall be shaken. On the earth there's distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Remember that word perplexity? It comes from the Greek word aporia, which means unable to find a way out. People don't know what to do. Ask anybody. They don't know what to do. How do you fix this? I'll tell you what you can do. Right now, you can open your heart to the Almighty and let Him help you. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to go into prayer and worship. And I urge you that before you go out the door today to call upon Him, we are in great need of our Savior. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy great and many blessings to us, and that we can know these things in advance. Lord, help us all to seek after Thee. Let this prophetic message stir our hearts. Help us to be ready for Thy soon appearing. We rejoice, O God, in that Thou hast shown us Thy power through Thy word. And no matter what happens on this earth, we are Thy children. Watch over us, Lord. Strengthen us. Let our faith be great. We are in great need of deliverance, of healing, of strengthening. Help us all, O Lord, we pray. And lead us in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that we're going to sing a few choruses and go into prayer here. I just want to mention that there are many people that need prayer. Keep praying for Tom. He's going through some real health problems. Pray for me, too, if you would. I'm having some more problems with my left foot, and I think I may have it checked just to see what's going on there, but I do need prayer for that. I get hit all the time with things, but I'm looking for healing and deliverance from that. So if you would keep me in prayer, I would very much appreciate that. And I know many others. Some are tired from fighting battles. I just finished writing a newsletter, and there's just been so much going on constantly. That also tells me we're in the last days. There are others here that need a strengthening and a touch. So let's all just pray for each other, and the Lord will lift us up. Amen. We're fighting battles, aren't we? I know that's a good sign. It isn't pleasant, but it is a good sign. Amen. Duane, come on up and lead us in a couple choruses. But remember, our primary purpose here and now is to pray unto the Lord. Amen.